Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'm going to read verse 17. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." In Christ, you're a new creature. If you're in Christ. Now, that phrase, in Christ, might seem a little confusing. In fact, you might go to church all your life and never hear it. It's actually possible. You might be confused by it. I'm just going to ask you four questions about this phrase, this passage here. In Christ being a new creature, first of all, do you get it? Do you know what it's talking about? Do you understand it? Have you understood enough of the Scripture to know what He is talking about when He says, "Are you in Christ?" So, do you get it? Do you understand it? And then, do you want it? You'd be amazed how many people don't want it. And then, do you have it? Do you have it? Are you in Christ? And then, of course, will you take it? Are you willing? All right. Let's go over this just a little bit in detail. First, let's ask God to bless us. Lord, I ask You to help us. We cannot possibly clarify Your gospel enough to the people. Lord, to people who do not understand it, it takes Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we depend upon You, and we ask You to deal with people here in this room. Anyone here that does not know You as Savior, that is not clear on what salvation's about and how they can have that eternal life that You've offered. Lord, I ask You to make things clear to them and call them by Your Spirit and move them, Lord, and translate them into Your kingdom. I ask You in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, he says, if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. You're a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. That sounds pretty radical. Sounds a little bit extreme. And that's exactly what it is. Do you get it? Hey, first of all, let me tell you something. Not everybody's in Christ. In fact, it's a lot fewer than you might think. There's an awful lot of people who go to church who aren't in Christ. Awful lot of people who have a lot of things going for them, but they're not in Christ. It's amazing. Now, being in Christ is not being in a religion. It's not being religious. Being in Christ is a very specific Bible concept that is not about religion. A whole lot of religious people are not in Christ. They are not. They do not belong to Christ. They are not part of Christ. They are not members of His body. They have not had that change in their relationship to make it so that they can say, "I am now in Christ. Before, I wasn't in Christ." Now, Paul the Apostle says one time, he says, "Before I was in Christ, these other people were in Christ." In other words, something happened to Paul to change where he used to not be in Christ and now he is. You see, it's a change in your life. That's what it says. That's what it says. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Being in Christ is a transformation of your life that changes, so to almost like birth. In fact, the Bible calls it a new birth, where you actually start over. So then from then on, everything is different from the way it was before to the way it is now. It's like a huge wall or a huge event in your life that makes a complete difference. It's a complete difference. It's a radical change. It's not improvement. It's not getting better. It's not having a better life. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not getting victory over some sin. That's not what it is. It's a complete, radical transformation of your life. And the Bible says, if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. Isn't it amazing how many people don't have it? Because they don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to them. You see, there's a lot of people who go to church and want to be Christians. They've got that. They got this idea. But they don't really want to be in Christ because of the radical nature of the change. When Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, who knows why he came by night? He could have come during the day, you think. But he came by night. Maybe he was a little bit ashamed, or maybe he was afraid of what might happen to him. Who knows? But he came by night and he said, you know, we know you're a teacher of God and what have you. And Jesus says, you must be born again. That seems pretty extreme. You must be born again. Tell me what you think that means, that God thinks about the way you are right now. What is God's opinion about the way people are? It's not good enough. He doesn't like it. You realize that if you're not in Christ, you're an enemy of Christ. That if you're not in Christ, you are in sin. If you're not in Christ, you're in the world. You're in the flesh. You're of the devil if you're not in Christ. You realize being in Christ is what matters. Are you in Christ? Because that's what matters. If you're not in Christ, you're in condemnation. If you're not translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, you are in the kingdom of darkness. It's the way it is. God is not satisfied with people just the way they are. Now, I know it's real common nowadays. You'll hear it said behind pulpits that God loves you just like you are. But if you read the Bible, you find out God is not at all happy with the way you are. God is just not happy with the way you are. I don't say He doesn't love you. He showed His love. He proved His love when Jesus died on the cross for you. Before you ever made any commitment to Him, He gave Himself for you. He offered Himself to save you. That's love. If it ain't love, then you don't know what love is. He gave Himself to save you without any commitment on your part. That's love. But that doesn't mean He likes the way you are. He's made it very clear over and over and over again. God doesn't like the way you are. And it's not just because you're a little bit imperfect. You ever heard people say that? Well, I'm not perfect. You ask Him, are you a sinner? Well, I'm not perfect. Nobody's asking about perfection. You act like God doesn't understand what a mistake is. God knows what a mistake is. God understands mistakes. And just like any rational, reasonable father or mother, when a child makes a mistake, they say, it's okay. It's all right. No problem. You don't beat a kid for making a mistake, right? You don't spank them for making a mistake. When do you spank them? When they're disobedient. When they're willful. When they are rebellious. That's when you spank them. You got to make them understand there's a difference between a mistake and rebellion. We all understand that. Well, God's not stupid. He also knows that. When He tells you that you're a sinner and that He feels disgusted by the decisions you make, when He says God is angry with the wicked every day, He's not saying you make mistakes. He's saying He is fed up with the way you are. He's not satisfied with you. What do you think God is expecting of you then? To be a little better? Would you work at it a little bit and try to improve yourself a little bit? Why don't you be better? God doesn't want to better you. He wants a whole new you. Amen. He wants a transformation in your life that can only come by a miraculous new birth. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are new. They've become new. Old things are passed away. You see how this is a radical transformation in life? And that if you don't have it, you ain't got it. You need to be saved. You know, and it's amazing how people will fudge with words so that they lose their force. Used to, you can knock on a door. We used to knock on doors. When I was young, we'd go knocking on doors trying to talk to people about salvation. And you could just ask them, are you saved? And they would say, I don't know what that talks about. I hope so. Maybe so. You know, and they would just... But now, I don't know if you've noticed that. It was actually helpful because that's what the word saved means. It's about being all now belonging to Christ, being in Christ, having God's salvation as a gift, a free gift, and you know that change in your life, it's your salvation, and they understood because they couldn't say they were saved. It gave us a way to show them the Scriptures and what have you. But now they've gotten wise to that. If you knock on a door now and say, are you saved? They say, yeah. And why? Because saved means something else now. They kind of fudge the, you know, they tug on the words a little bit, redefine things, and now, yeah. Are you born again? Yeah. Born again. How'd that happen? Well, I was baptized. Well, when were you baptized? Well, I don't know. I was real young. Baptized when I was a baby. Got born again. You know, it's amazing how they make the words of Scripture, they make them lose their meaning. And I'm telling you, that doesn't do you any good. It's not going to help you out in the long run. It's not going to help you out with God. God's trying to get you to understand this is not a simple little thing that happens to people. It's not something where you just decide to go to church more often. That's not what He's talking about. He's not saying you need to go to church more. You need to start reading your Bible more. You need to sin less. That's not what He's saying. You need to start over. You need to get a whole new life. You need to become born again by God's Holy Spirit. And it's going to make a difference in your life. From the day you were, you say, that's the way I was. That's who I was. And now I'm saved. Now I'm in Christ. Now I'm different. It's amazing. Do you get it? It's where you trust in Christ. You trust in Christ. And God accepts you in Christ. Isn't that something? I've explained it some way in sometimes, like the Ark of Noah. If you're in the Ark, you're okay, right? It's not about whether you're good or bad. It's about whether you're in the Ark. Right? Somebody says, well, yeah, but those were good people in the Ark. Well, no. What about the animals? Were those good animals in the Ark and all the bad animals were left outside? No, the difference between saved and lost is, are you in the Ark? Amen. That's what the difference is. And it's the same way with Christ. Are you in Christ? I'm not asking you if you go to church. I'm not asking if you're better than your neighbors. I'm asking you, are you in Christ? Do you belong to Him? Does He know you as one of His own? Has He promised you to claim you on that day of judgment where He'll say, I'll confess His name before my Father which is in heaven? Do you have it? Do you understand it? Do you get it? It's a transformation. It's a radical overturning of your life. You used to be that way. That's the way you used to be. Now you're different. Amen. You say, well, I've never, you know, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. And I believe in the Bible, whatever, but I've never had that. Well, then you need it. You say, well, I think I'm just as good as everybody else. No, that's not what the Bible says. You need that radical transformation where you can say old things are passed away and all things are become new. You say, you're saying that only fanatics can get saved? That's exactly what I'm saying. It's exactly what I'm saying. Only fanatics are going to be saved. Jesus made it very clear. I don't know how many times He had to tell you. He said, you take up your cross and you follow Me. You hate your father and your mother. That's what He said. What? Complete radical change. You say, no, I would never do anything that would offend my father and my mother. Then you don't got it. You're not catching it. You're not understanding it. What Jesus is saying is, it's Me. You come with Me. You become in Me. And then I claim you as My own. You trust in Me. You become saved. You're born again. You're Mine. And it completely changes everything that was before. That's the reason why people don't want it. Do you want it? A whole lot of people don't want it. Now, I want you to know that most people want to be associated with Christ. At least most people here. Maybe not in Saudi Arabia, but here, most people want to, most politicians, by the way, want to be associated with Christ. You get very few politicians standing up there and saying, I'm an atheist, I don't believe in God at all. Why? Well, because there's something wrong with that. It makes you wonder whether they have any basis for their morality. And that's a real good question, by the way. An atheist, what is their connection to morality? Find out. You really need to find out, because a whole lot of atheists acted on their atheistic principles, and you find out they don't care about morality. I know the atheists around you, they will say, no, we're moral people. We're moral people. But where is the connection with their moral people, with being moral? Where's their correct connection to morality? Joseph Stalin was an atheist. Killed 25 million of his own people. Mao Zedong was an atheist. Killed 70-something million of his own people. Pol Pot was an atheist. Fidel Castro was an atheist, right? They had the power to act out on their impulses. You see, but most people in the United States would say, well, I'm not an atheist. I believe in God. And they want to be associated with Christ. Why? Because Christ has a generally positive association. And so a lot of people want the association with Christ, but they don't want Christ. They don't want Christ in their life. They certainly don't want to be fanatical. They don't want any overturning of their lives. They want Christ to help them. You know that most people want the blessings of God, but they don't want to be submitted to God. They want the earthly benefits of being a Christian. Oh, a lot of people do. In fact, that's one of the problems, and this is the reason why so few people are really in Christ who claim to be Christians. But there's so few that are really in Christ, and the reason why is because Christianity offers a lot of stuff other than Christ. They will offer you a way to improve your marriage. They'll have seminars, they'll have classes on them. I've gone to these churches. You go on a Monday night or a Tuesday night, and you go to these churches, and they'll be lined up with cars. And why? They have all these seminars going on in there. How to be a better husband, how to be a better father, how to invest your money. Hey, you can go to church and get all kinds of benefits. If nothing else, you can become very entertained. You got real professional entertainment. And I'm not against any of that. I don't think any of that is wrong. What I'm saying is it causes them to completely overlook the vast more important thing of being in Christ and making sure you're saved. When the church starts offering something other than Christ, Christ gets put into the background. And a whole lot of people will go to church who want nothing to do with Christ. Not the real Christ. They don't want to be in Him. They want to be associated with Him, and they want all the earthly benefits. Did you know that Christians have better lives than non-Christians? They have better lives. They live a cleaner life. Their lives turn out better. And most parents want their kids to be nice, good, moral Christians. But the parents don't want to be Christians. It's amazing. It's amazing how we want to eat everything we want at any moment, but we don't want to be fat. We want to be able to enjoy all the food we want, anytime we want, however rich it is, sweets, anything else, but we don't want to be fat. In fact, they'll sell you a pill. They will sell you a pill so you can eat anything you want and you won't have to be fat. But that's the way some people are with Christianity. They want all the good stuff that comes with Christianity, but they don't want Christ Himself. They don't want to be committed to Christ. They don't want to belong to Him. They don't want Him interfering in their day-to-day life. That is why they have temples, big, nice church buildings. The reason why is because they want God to be in that temple, like a canary in a cage. When they want to hear Him sing, they go to the temple. They can be there with God for a while, but then they want to be able to leave that temple, that building, and say, well, now I'm on my own. I was eating over here at Los Robertos, out of business now, it was a taco place. We were eating over there, and this family was in there. Tell me how family, it was maybe two or three men, two or three women together there, all grown people. But I had some of my grandkids with me, and they started cussing. F-ing this and G-D that and just cussing up right in a family restaurant. In fact, the sign said, family restaurant. So I said, well, let's just leave. We don't have to hear this. They were going after it. And as we're walking out, they're just letting it out. And not just the men, but the women too. Just letting it out. Oh, just sickening. Worse than sailors. So as we were all leaving, I just walked over to their table and I said, just to let you know, your language is offensive. And the woman that was closest to me said, oh, I'm so sorry. And the man said, this isn't an effing church. You see, because you couldn't say things like that in church. Yeah. Why not? Well, why can't you say it in church? You think God's in the church, but He's not in that restaurant? He's everywhere. God's everywhere. Amen. God's in every part of your life. God watches everything. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are to and fro. They see everything. He beholds the good and the evil. He sees it all. What makes you think you can cuss in a restaurant, but you can't cuss in church? It's a mistaken understanding of what it means. Church is not a place where you keep God like a canary God is not, the Bible says God dwelleth not in temples made with hands. God's all over the place and He's watching you. People want God's heavenly promises. They want the nirvana after they die. Most everybody wants paradise after they die. Most everybody wants to go to heaven. Even though it seems like an extraordinarily boring place to most people. They say, what am I going to do up there? Just play a harp? Float around on a cloud? Have no clue about heaven. Don't have an idea what's going on. Right? But most people don't want to go to hell. Most people don't want to suffer in anguish for their sins after they die. So yeah, there's all kinds of reasons to want to be associated with Christ. And people want that stuff, but they don't want Christ. See, the question is, do you want Christ? Do you want to be in Christ? Do you want to be completely a part of Christ, a member of Christ's body? Do you want to belong to Him? Do you want it? Because a lot of people don't want that. They want the other stuff. And I'm afraid that there's some people in here that want the blessings of being a Christian. And there's so many tremendous blessings that we have for being a Christian nation. Just the fact that we have such a foundation of Christian principles. In our nation, we have so many blessings that other countries do not have, that other cultures in the past have not had. We have so many blessings. And so people want that. But they stop short of wanting to truly be in Christ. Do you want it? Do you have it? First of all, it's talking about an understanding. Do you think like Christ? Do you like God's ways? Do you agree with God? Do you have this? Are you in Christ? Are you on the same page as God? Do you want what God wants? Do you have that understanding? It involves an understanding. It involves aligning your thoughts to God's thoughts. It involves having God's thoughts interfere with your thoughts. It involves God saying, this is what I like, and you saying, amen. A lot of that has to do with you going to church and hearing the preacher say something that shocks you at first, but because you're in Christ, you say, whatever God says. Whatever God says. Yeah, I know that's hard. I know it's hard in our culture, modern culture, because there's an awful lot of things that go against what God's ideas are. You see, now we have political correctness and all kinds of things nowadays that say, well, this is the way, this is the better way, but God says, no, this is, and you know, God is, He doesn't change. And God doesn't bargain. God's not changing His mind. God is pretty sad. He's got a lot of self-esteem. He's going to stick with His guns. He tells you what marriage is about, that's what it's about. He's not going to change, folks. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. God's not going to change. It involves a submission, a surrender, where you submit to God's will. Where you something happens to you that you don't like and you say, whatever God wills. Isn't that what Jesus says? Whatever you will. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? It's a submission to God's will. Do you have it? Is this what you've got? Or is your Christianity, your idea of belief in God, something that just means you don't have to submit to anything God says? Anything. You don't, you know, you feel like you don't have to love your wife like Christ loved the church, right? You feel like you can just treat your wife like a little servant. There's an awful lot of people in the Middle East that treat their wives like slaves. They can buy them and sell them. Have more than one wife. Do whatever they want. And God says, that's not the way it is. You love your wife like your own body, the Bible says. But they don't agree. You realize how many people there are in this town that have the same attitude toward their wives? Same attitude. They're not letting God change their way, change their mind. There's no submission to God's will. What does God say about spanking children? They don't care. They are not submitted to God's will or God's way. What? Do they have it? No, they don't have it. They say they're Christians, but they don't have that transformation of their life. A whole lot of women will balk at the idea of being obedient to their husbands. Oh, a lot of women in this room, I should have said, balk at the idea of being obedient to their husbands. Why? Not submitted to Christ. There, I said it. I told you. It involves a commitment. There's a commitment. You know what marriage is, right? It's a mutual commitment. Of course, not anymore. Now marriage doesn't really mean a whole lot. In fact, I'd really challenge modern society to come up with a definition of marriage. Something that we could, you know, hang on to and say, okay, that's what that means. Basically, because of no-fault divorce and now you can marry your dog. Oh, no, not, you can marry another man or, you know, pretty soon you can marry your dog. Marriage doesn't mean anything. But used to, marriage was a commitment. And it was important. See, if you're not committed to that woman, or you're not committed to that man, you have no business getting together carnally with each other because you're going to produce babies, and those babies have some rights. God knows what He's doing. He has His way of figuring things out, and He's the one who set it all up. There involves a commitment. But did you realize that if you're going to be in Christ, there's a commitment there where you're committed to Him and He's committed to you? It's very similar to a marriage. God says, I'll take you, and you say, I'll take you. It's a commitment. It's a rejection of all others too, by the way. You got to reject that Virgin Mary. Bothers you? You got to reject. You know, if you're getting your forgiveness of sins from a priest, you're going to have to reject that. You got to get your forgiveness of sins from God. Because God's a jealous God. He's not putting up with that kind of stuff. I don't know how you would feel. Like if your wife told you that you were her favorite. How would that make you feel? You're my favorite. I don't want to be your favorite. I want to be your only. Your only. No favorites. You're my favorite person, Deb. You're my favorite person. All right. It's a public commitment. It's a lifelong commitment. God commits and you commit. Do you have it? Do you have it? I got it. I'm committed to Jesus Christ. I don't pray to the virgin. Sorry. I don't pray to... I don't ask people, you know, priests for my forgiveness. I got my forgiveness direct from God. I've given myself to Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. He's my... You say, well, yeah, but you're the fanatic kind of a character, and most of us are a little bit less. Well, then you need to get it. You need to get a little more fanatic. Because this is a... How do you get any more fanatic than that? That's what he says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You might say, well, I don't like these churches where they're all fanatics. Well, then you're not getting it. You're not saved. You're not going to be right with God. Come that day, God will not be committed to you. You don't commit to Him. There's no commitment. No decision. You haven't made any kind of a lifelong decision. You haven't made any kind of a heartfelt decision. You're one of the worst mediocre, half-hearted people in the world. You just will not commit. Not to God, nope. All right. Will you take it? Tell you what it requires. It requires true repentance. Not that kind of repentance where you say you're sorry and nothing changes. That's that superficial kind of, I'm so sorry, you know. All kinds of fraud going on in the world. Crocodile tears. You know, you can be really sorry about something and not be repentant. Happens all the time. True repentance has to do with a true enlightenment about your sin and about God's anger. And maybe even agreeing with God. How about that? I know that a whole lot of people are not really repentant because they believe in lightening their load. How do I explain that? You'll get a Jehovah's Witness that'll say, oh yeah, I believe in repentance, but they don't believe in hell. If you don't believe in hell, you don't believe your sins deserve hell. You don't believe that you, as a person who have done such horrible things to God, you don't believe you deserve hell. Well, that's not true repentance. You're not seeing from God's point of view just how bad you are. Some people believe in purgatory. They know they're not worthy of heaven, But they don't think they're worthy of hell, so they come up with this new place in the middle called purgatory, where you can suffer for a while and then everything's going to be okay. Only problem is, God never mentioned it. It's not in the Bible. There's no concept of that. If you could purge your own sins, Jesus wouldn't have died on the cross. If there was any other way, Jesus said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But it wasn't possible. There's no purgatory. You can't cleanse your own sins by your own suffering. Jesus had to die on the cross for you. The first thing you need to do is repent. True repentance, where you agree with God. Yeah, your homosexuality is a sin. Yeah, your fornication is a sin. Yeah, your easy divorce is a sin. Yeah, the way you live is a sin. Yeah, your drunkenness is a sin. Yeah, your marijuana is a sin. Yeah! Agree with God. For once, agree with God. It's called repentance. You want to talk about a transformation in your life? Just really repent. One of the problems a whole lot of people have, they just can't beat this. They can't beat this. They can't beat, you know, they're in this rut. They can't get out of it. Why? They don't really repent. That doesn't mean they're not sorry. They're really sorry. They can cry real tears. Real tears because they're really sorry, but they don't repent. They don't come around to God's way of seeing things. They don't make a decision in their life that is true repentance. Now, another thing you've got to have is that decisive faith. Decisive faith where you say, I'm going to make a real decision. You want to see your life change? Make a decision. Do you know you can make decisions? You have a will. An independent will. God's not working you like a puppet. God's not working you like a puppet. You can make decisions. And your decisions make a difference. Make a difference in your life. Make a difference in your children's life. But you know, a lot of people don't want to make a decision. Some people can't make a decision off of a menu. Go to the restaurant and they just can't decide. Do you want fries or you want onion rings? Would you like fries and onion rings? You got to make a decision. Hey, you got to make a decision, folks. You're going to make a decision. You're going to decide you want to be with Christ. You want to be in Christ. You want to belong to Him. You want to be a Christian. It's a life-changing decision. And if you're not willing to make that decision, you made the decision. And let me tell you something else. It's a genuine miracle. Not these phony miracles. Praise God, I got healed by my ingrown toenail. Really, it was bad. God healed me. Not that kind of a phony miracle. You get all these phonies. There's a lot of phonies on television, folks, by the way. Television is a great medium for phonies. Why? Because everything's controlled. They can control where the cameras are and everything else. Great place to be fooled. But you need a genuine miracle. You need that miracle that gets in the heart, that changes your life. Do you not have it? You haven't had that miracle yet? You haven't had that where He changes, where God comes in with His Holy Spirit and indwells you and makes you a different person? Yeah. If you haven't had that, you haven't had that transformation in your life, you need to get it. Amen. You need to go after it with all your heart. You say, I just don't know how. I want it. I just don't know how. Keep going. Keep talking. Do you realize how you get this miracle? You know how you get it? You ask God for it in faith. Isn't that what He said? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall God the Father give the Holy Spirit unto them that ask Him for it? Do you believe that? Luke 13. You know how to give good. Your child comes up and says, hey, can I have a fish sandwich? You say, yeah, here, and give him a rock. No, you don't do that to your kids. He asks you for a fish sandwich, you give him a fish sandwich, or at least a chicken sandwich, you give him something, whatever you got, right? You know how to give good gifts to your children. You know what Jesus said? You know how to get God to give you the Holy Spirit? Ask Him for it. Just ask Him in faith. Just say, Lord, I want it. You see, because that's part of your problem. You haven't wanted it. But do you want it? You have to ask Him for it. Jesus isn't a cause. He's not a principle. He's a person. You got to talk to Him. You got to go to Jesus, and let me tell you something. He's a worker of miracles. He actually will do the miracle in your heart. He will give the Holy Spirit to him that asks Him for it. I'm not making this up. This is what the Bible says. I know that a lot of churches don't preach it. Who cares? It's in the Bible. You got a Bible? Open your Bible and read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's what you need. How do you get it? It's a miracle. How do you get it? How do you get that new birth? By faith in His Word. And by talking to Him. Hey, that's all it is. That's all I did. That's all the thief on the cross did. That's all Saul of Tarsus did. What else did he do? Nothing. God appeared to him and said, hey, turn around. It's me. And he says, okay, Lord. That's all he had to do. You're right, Lord. Who are you, Lord? What do I need to do, Lord? Hey, you want it? If you want it, you want this miracle in your life, you got to ask Jesus Christ for it. And if you say, well, I've asked Him for it, I just don't have it yet. By the way, it's not a feeling. It's not about how good you feel. It's about having that transformation in your mind and your life where God takes over and makes you a different person. It's a real miracle that happens today. There are some people in this room that can testify it happened to them. Something happened. Something changed in my life. And people who knew me before would say something really changed in him. I had some of my friends talk to others of my friends and said, I used to like Bill. I don't like him anymore. They come to me later on and said, yeah, he said he used to like you, but he don't like you anymore. It happened to several people. They didn't like me anymore. Something changed. Hey, that's what you need. If you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. You still got all that old on you? It's all lumped on top of you? You still carrying around all that old? That's what you need. You need to be in Christ and become a new creature. And that old things just pass away. They're gone. And all things become new. I'm not talking about just getting a fresh start. I'm talking about a miraculous change in your relationship to God. And it doesn't matter whether other people can see it. It only matters whether God can see it. And God says, if you'll believe in me, I'll give you eternal life. You'll never perish, neither shall any man pluck you out of my hand. And if it's real in heaven, it's real. If it's real in God's eyes, it's real. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are become new. Old things are passed away. Somebody in here doesn't have Christ and you want Him. A lot of people don't want Him. I get it. I understand that. A lot of people do not want to have anything to do with that. They want a comfortable, pleasant fiction. It's like somebody dying of cancer don't want to be told that they're dying of cancer. I'm not here to offer you pleasant fiction. I want to tell you the truth. You need to be saved. And if you don't want it, I can't help you. But if you want it, I can tell you. I can tell you that there is a way for you to have it because Jesus Christ offers it to you. If any man, He says whosoever, how many times? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever! If you want it, you can have it. You don't have to leave this room before you have it. You can ask Jesus Christ for salvation today. You can trust in His Word and believe in His Word and He'll do the miracle in your heart today. He will send His Holy Spirit and He will indwell in you and change your life. You might lose some friends. You might even lose your family. But you gain Jesus Christ. And it's the best hope you have of saving your family eventually. I can tell you that. That's the truth. If you want it, you can have it. All you have to do is ask Jesus Christ. It's not even about me. It's not even about the church. It's not about that. It is a public thing. You have to make a true public commitment to Jesus Christ for this to work. For you want to get Jesus Christ to indwell in your heart and make you have that radical change where you're now in Christ, whereas you were not before. If you want that, there's going to be a public commitment, yes, to Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something. It's not between you and me. You don't need a priest. You don't need a saint. You just need to talk to Jesus Christ. You need to say, Jesus, I want it. You said I could have it. I want it. I want it. Give it to me. And He will honor His Word. He will give you His Holy Spirit. He will make you a new creature in Christ. And your destinies will change. And your relationship will change. And your name will be written in heaven. And He makes promises to you that He will keep. And that He will never leave you nor forsake you. And that is for those who are in Christ. You can have it if you want it. Now listen, if you've got any questions about this, come talk to me. Talk to Brian standing there in the back, or my dad that taught Sunday school this morning. Come talk to us. We got the Bible. We'll show you where the promises are. We're not making this up. You can have it. It's yours if you want it. Just give your life to Jesus Christ. Take that tremendous miracle that will give a transformation of your life from what it was before to what God wants it to be. It'll make a difference in your life. It'll make a difference in your family's life and in your children's life. And more importantly, it'll make a difference in your eternity. It'll give you eternal life. Let's pray.